Well, what you were really getting was you were getting surface inversion on the PNPs, and basically the annular ring cut it off. The surface layer that you got of surface inversion, the annular ring shut that off, and that was what enabled us to come out with the planar version of PNP, which rapidly replaced the, I think we call it the 2N2800, and that replaced the 1132. We also decided that epitaxy was the way to go. I mean, if you could do it, and the problem was laying down this, you know, 10 micron thick layer and controlling the resistivity of that layer. So they, which we'd figured out how to do, and the other guys hadn't. So they, but once you could do that, it meant that the kind of the series resistance from the junction to the back of the chip was dramatically less, so that, you know, what's called a saturation voltage, a VCE sat, was dramatically lower with that, so that the it totally changed the characteristics of the, positively changed the characteristics. And the other benefit was you could do it with a much smaller chip. And of course, in the chip business, two things are important. One is the smaller the transistor and the higher the speed of the transistor, the more valuable the transistor is. So that, and that's true even today. So they, that was the real key with EPI, because, I mean, I know when I got to Fairchild Eaton 68, the difference in chip size was horrendous. It was like, their chips were around 50 mils, thousandths of an inch on the side. It was at least 40, maybe it was 50. I'm a little vague now, it's a long time ago. But the equivalent device that we were making was 25 thousandths of an inch on the side. So this was like 4 to 1, because this goes as the square. So when you've got a chip that's 4 times cheaper and the electrical characteristics are quite a bit better, it's almost no contest.